morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is William O'Brien. I represent the appellant in this case, Brian McQuickert. This is an appeal that has basically one issue, and that's the stop of the vehicle he was driving on Interstate 80 by Sergeant Vance, which led to a search of the car, discovery of marijuana, charges of marijuana possession. But he's only appealing the constitutionality of the stop, and the district court's order overruling his motion to suppress on that issue. Now, in the district court, after the suppression hearing, the district court judge ruled that it was a constitutional stop. There was probable cause to stop the car because, according to the district court, Mr. McQuickert was driving in the left-hand lane on Interstate 80, in the passing lane. And he was doing 66 miles an hour in a 75 mile per hour zone. Now, Sergeant Vance testified that this constituted impeding traffic. When the district court ruled in its order overruling our motion to suppress, the judge referred to 66.131.2, which says that upon all roadways, any vehicle proceeding at less than the normal speed of traffic, the time and place, and under the conditions then existing, shall be driven in the right-hand lane then available for traffic. We argued in our brief that the state, because this is not a warrant, this is not based on a warrant, the seizure of the defendant, of the appellant. The burden of proof is on the state to show, the burden of production, to show that the elements of the traffic violation were present. And one of those elements is that he was driving, if it's based on this statute, that Mr. McQuickert was driving at less than the normal speed of traffic at the time and place and under the conditions then existing. But the state in the suppression hearing offered no evidence as to what the normal speed of traffic would have been for that time and place and under those conditions, let alone that Mr. McQuickert was traveling below that speed.
There was a videotape, though, from the officer's cruiser, I believe, correct?
That's correct. Car. That's correct.
It showed your client's vehicle in the left-hand lane and then several vehicles passing it on the right.
That's correct.
So is that not evidence?
That's evidence that some cars were going faster than Mr. McQuickert's car, but there's no evidence about what would be. I mean, they had the law enforcement officer testify at the preliminary hearing, and there was no evidence from him as to what the reasonable. That's what the statute prescribes, is that you cannot travel at less than the normal speed of traffic under the time and place and under the conditions then existing.
Well, we know the speed limit there. That was in evidence.
Correct.
And we know what his speed was.
Correct.
Which was less than the posted speed.
Right. But it was above the minimum speed.
But there's some evidence, at least, that because people were passing him on the right, he was impeding traffic.
Well, the impeding, if he's impeding, that's what's a little bit complicated. It's not that complicated because there's only one issue in this case, but there's the state, when they filed their brief, tried to tie it to two other traffic statutes. The impeding language isn't part of this.
Well, the 66.131 says nothing about impeding.
No, that's the other. Originally, it was 66.131.2, which was what I was talking about, which has about below the normal speed. 131.1 was what the state suggested was the statute that should have been controlling. But I would disagree with that because I think that statute, if you look at it carefully, really only has to do with non-divided highways. It's 166.131.1.
So what do you think the statute means when it says less than the normal speed of traffic?
I think it would be the speed that it would be reasonable to travel at, given the conditions of the road at the time you're traveling.
So is the posted speed limit a reasonable rate of travel?
It is a reasonable, mm-hmm. but that's not to say 9 miles an hour below that isn't reasonable as well. And there was just the burden was on them to give some kind of evidence as to what the normal speed was, and they didn't give any.
Was there any evidence that there were any weather factors or roadway factors that would have required traveling at less than the posted speed limit?
It was at night. The conditions are visible on the video, and it was described at one point as chilly, but beyond that, there isn't.
So there are a number of cases that have held that the violation of a traffic statute or traffic law is enough to stop the vehicle. Is that correct?
That's correct, and we don't dispute that.
And that would include a taillight that's out, or a blinker that's not used, or a license plate that is not displayed properly. Is that correct?
That's right. And no matter how minor any traffic infraction, is a sufficient condition for the police to pull you over.
So in this case, you're just saying that the statute as written is not definite as to what it means in 131.2 to proceed at less than a normal speed of traffic.
It calls for some. It calls for some kind of evidence from the officer as to what normal speed was at that time, because it's relativized to the place and conditions then existing, and so it's the statute itself is indicating that it requires some kind of application, and so somebody has to say, and the person who could have said it would have been the.
The officer, you say, well, something from the officer. What is normal speed? I mean, is the officer qualified to opine as to that?
Well, I don't know, but it's in the statute, and the citizens of the state are supposed to abide by it. And so, there, you know, under the rule of law, there has to be some basis for it. And so,
well, again, I go back to the evidence that he's being passed by other vehicles passing him on in the right-hand lane. So isn't that an inference that he is traveling less than the normal speed of traffic and he should move over to the right-hand lane?
I would say that it's not evidence. It's below the speed of the drivers around him. There's no evidence about the normal speed, I would suggest. But I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Good morning, Mr. O'Brien. May it please the Court, Nathan Liss, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the appellee of the State of Nebraska. The State maintains that the traffic stop in this case was lawful under either Section 60-6131, which generally prohibits driving in the left-hand lane, or 60-6193, which prohibits impeding traffic. I'm going to start by addressing the latter statute, the impeding traffic statute, because there are some complications with the other statute that I admittedly overlooked. As used in which statute, Your Honor?
131.2.
Well, it says normal under the place and time under the conditions then existing, so I guess just at the as traffic is traveling at that particular time and place. But as I was saying...
But what was the evidence in this case as to what the normal...
Well, I don't know if there was necessarily objective evidence as to what the normal rate of speed would be. I mean, this vehicle was being passed, so other vehicles were going faster. But, I mean, the state's not required to prove up an actual violation in order for a stop to be valid. State v. Prescott makes that clear. We don't have to actually prove the violation. There just has to be facts which provide a reasonable suspicion to believe a crime is being committed. But, again, I would say I'd like to start with, if I could, the impeding traffic statute, because I overlooked some problems and some complications with the statute 60-6131 as I briefed this case. And I think this court can avoid those complications if it finds that the impeding traffic statute it provided a valid basis in this case. As far as the impeding traffic statute 60-6193, it provides that no person shall provide or drive a motor vehicle at such a slow speed as to impede the normal and reasonable movement of traffic. We submit that this statute provided a valid basis for the stop here, given that McCrickert was driving in the left-hand lane. He was going 9 miles an hour under the speed limit, and at least three cars had to use the right-hand lane to pass him. He was impeding the reasonable and normal movement of traffic, so we would submit that that provided a legitimate basis for the stop.
Is that what the state's position was at the motion to suppress and the trial?
I believe the state below and the district court relied primarily on 60-6131. But that's immaterial. I mean, as far as the legal basis for the stop, that's reviewed de novo. Determinations of reasonable suspicion and probable cause and legal determinations in general are de novo on appeal. The court's rationale and the state's rationale below is irrelevant for legal purposes. We maintain that the impeding traffic statute did provide a valid basis.
In this case, cite a specific statute that he violated?
I don't believe that it did, Your Honor, and he wasn't even charged with a traffic offense. It was just possession of meth, more than a pound. As far as the appellant's argument that he was not impeding traffic because other vehicles were permitted to pass in the right-hand lane, we disagree. The impeding traffic statute's not limited to situations where vehicles simply can't pass. This is illustrated by the fact that just one of the provisions in that statute, subsection 6, provides that specifically addresses that situation and prohibits vehicles from driving side-by-side at the same rate of speed in adjacent lanes. If this is the only conduct that the legislature intended to prohibit, that would be the extent of the statute. It's not. There are other provisions as well, including the provision we're relying on in subsection 1, which provides that a vehicle cannot impede the normal and reasonable movement of traffic. The appellant's asking this court to read that language out of the statute, which, of course, runs afoul of the principles of statutory construction. So we would submit the plain language of the impeding traffic statute and the facts of this case. There was a valid basis to stop McCrickert for impeding traffic in violation of 60-6193. As far as the other statute...
If I understood you correctly, you think that 131 sub 2 about the normal speed of traffic, you think there's problems with that?
Yeah.
And can you tell me what those are?
Sure.
Are those in your brief?
I'm going to have to deviate from my brief here a bit, Your Honor. As far as that other statute, 60-6131, which generally prohibits driving in the left-hand lane, I'll start by admitting that when I researched and briefed this case, I admittedly overlooked the Nebraska Supreme Court's decision in State v. Brulette, which seems to conclusively establish that 60-6131 does not apply to roadways that are divided by a median, which would include the interstate. In other words, as a matter of statutory interpretation, Brulette would establish that McCrickert did not violate 60-6131.
What's your cite to that? Because it's not in your brief, is it?
No, it's not. It's in the appellant's reply brief. The cite is 265 NEB 214. It's from 2003. But the fact that he wasn't actually violating the statute, assuming this court would agree that that's what Brulette says, it doesn't mean that a Fourth Amendment violation occurred here for two reasons. First, as just discussed, there was a legitimate basis to stop for impeding traffic under 60-6193, which would render 60-6131 irrelevant in our view. And second, even if 60-6131 were pivotal here, the fact that McCrickert may have not actually violated that statute doesn't mean that we have a Fourth Amendment violation here because the officer's mistake was reasonable. Both the U.S. Supreme Court and our appellate courts have explained that a law enforcement officer's mistake does not constitute a Fourth Amendment violation if the mistake in question is reasonable. Just recently, in fact, in Hain v. North Carolina, the U.S. Supreme Court held that a traffic stop was valid despite the fact that the officer was mistaken as to the law and no traffic violation actually occurred in the case because the officer's mistake was, in fact, reasonable. One of the factors in determining whether a mistake is reasonable, as both the U.S. Supreme Court and the Eighth Circuit have recognized, is whether there's a lack of judicial opinions or conflicting judicial opinions on an issue. That's the situation here, given that we have conflicting decisions as to whether or not 60-6131 applies to highways divided by a median. The Nebraska Supreme Court said that it doesn't in Brulette, but more recently, both the U.S. District Court for Nebraska and the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals have held that it does apply to roadways divided by a median, and in fact upheld the stop on I-80 based on that statute. So we would submit that in light of these conflicting decisions, directly conflicting decisions, even if Sergeant Vance was mistaken as to whether or not a violation of 60-6131 occurred in this case, the mistake was objectively reasonable, and there was no Fourth Amendment violation in this case, nor any basis to apply the exclusionary rule. So in light of those statutes and that reasoning, we would submit that the stop in this case was lawful and that the motion to suppress was properly denied.
No further questions.
All right, we would ask that you affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Appellant has some time remaining. 1:43, Mr. O'Brien.
Thank you. One of the statutes, there's been three different statutes brought up, so just to be clear, so the last one that Mr. List was talking about was 66-193, and that's the statute that talks about impeding traffic. And I, as I argue in my brief, if you look at, there hasn't been, to my knowledge, an appellate ruling on that, interpreting that statute specifically in Nebraska, but in other states that have the same or nearly identical language, they have interpreted it in such a way that traveling moderately below the speed limit in the left-hand lane when cars can pass you on the right is not a violation of that statute. And as far as the, I don't know how to pronounce the Heehan case, the North Carolina Supreme Court case, I think the only way that would apply in this case is if you were to argue that even though he wasn't in fact impeding traffic, Sergeant Vance made a reasonable mistake of law in thinking that he was, and that therefore the evidence wouldn't be excluded under the Heehan decision. I don't think that applies because Heehan envisions, for reasonable mistakes of law, envisions statutes that are counterintuitive. It's not enough that there's not a clearly established standard. There has to be a reasonableness to the mistake, not just that it's hard to determine or subjective. And I would suggest if you look at that case involved a counterintuitive statute involving a number of brake lights on a car.
Is that case discussed in either briefs? Can you remember?
I didn't discuss it in mine because the state did not bring it up, so it's not in any of the briefs.
Okay. And can you give us the cite for that?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you both. You are excused, and your case is submitted. That brings us to our fourth and final case of the day, which is State versus Eagle Elk.